The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
The Gospel today reminds me of when an individual was invited to an incredible banquet, but he was told at his invitation that you can actually join us for the large banquet if you serve as a server. And that's when he says, "I will not serve." And so he wasn't able to go to the banquet. That is the story of Lucifer, the evil one. When he was created as a great angel, one of the highest in the angelic sphere, he was presented the whole plan of God and the role of angels. And the angels would spend their existence adoring the face of God, but also assisting us human beings on our road towards salvation. So his task, even though he was an incredible angel, would be to serve. And he famously said, "Non serviam," "I will not serve." That's where we get the phrase, "Pride goes before the fall." That was the fall of Satan, but it was also the fall that he led Adam and Eve into. Adam and Eve were asked to serve in the garden, humbly caring and tending what God had given them. And he convinces them that they can put themselves on the plane of God, create their own rules, have their own knowledge apart from him. And ultimately they fall and they're filled with shame and they hide. So in those cases, the sin was pride, and we call that one of the seven deadly sins. St. Thomas Aquinas considers it the worst of the sins. It's an inordinate love of self, a disproportionate or inflated sense of my own importance. And it's a rejection of being dependent upon God. We can tell if pride is beginning to grip our hearts if we sense that we have this impulse in groups of people to have a sense of superiority, that I just presume I'm probably a little bit better than them in some way, shape, or form, or I am prone to belittle others or point out their flaws, or if I am instinctually bossing other people around, assuming I know the best in the room. Or there's other signs of pride where I get embarrassed easily, or I am unable to laugh at myself and my own foibles. There's constant comparison, trying to prop up my own sense of importance, making sure I'm sizing myself up all the time. Or I'm eager to tell other people all the time of my own excellence or my own achievements or my own family's achievements, posting it on social media or shouting it from the rooftops. When we remain fixated or even obsessed with how we appear to others, how we size up towards others, that others recognize our excellence, it's impossible to care for your soul. That's why it's deadly. And of course, the opposite, the virtue that counters the vice of pride, is humility. And that's the theme for, I think, all of the readings on this 22nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. A lot of people have a wrong idea of what humility entails and what it looks like. Humility is, some people think it's just, I deny that I'm good at all, that I have any excellence, any abilities. And that's a false sense of humility. It's foundational as a virtue. And I say foundational because even the root word in Latin, humus, is that rich, nutrient-rich quality of the soil. So the idea is it's a foundational, rich quality by which all the other virtues can grow. And there's, I always think of the 2 feet planted firmly in the soil of humility. One of the feet, one of the pillars of humility is, yes, acknowledging my weakness, acknowledging even my nothingness. Remember, man, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. I am mere dust. I am dependent upon God. If he ceased to think of me, I would cease to exist. I am so small in the grand scheme of things. The other foot of humility, planted in the soil that is rich and able to grow my virtue, is acknowledging my dignity. I have been made in the image and likeness of God. He has loved me into existence. He has redeemed me by his blood out of love. He has adopted me as his beloved son through baptism. These are things that give us authentic dignity, and they are not to be denied. And in fact, we can say, if I do have any ability, any talent, any excellence in me, I see it as a gift from the Lord. And when I see it as a gift from the Lord, I can delight in it and eager to share it, not for recognition, but for his glory. I think of the psalm that says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to you be all the glory. And when we live this way, acknowledging our littleness, our weakness, but also acknowledging our dignity and everything being a gift from the Lord, there's a freedom and there's a joy. It is exhausting to think, I am the center of the universe. I prop up my own existence. I create my own rules. I need everyone else to acknowledge it. That's exhausting. If I have the freedom to say, I depend on him, everything's pure gift and love, there's freedom and joy. That's the fruit of humility. In reality, humility is living in reality, in the truth of who I am. We have so many great saints who exemplify this virtue. It's so foundational. Saints actually didn't just choose the lowest place in the table so they can get called up higher, like faking, like, oh, I'll sit lower knowing I'm better. No, they actually sought out and preferred the lowest place. They wanted to be forgotten because they knew, of course, the dangers of honors. Get to our head, get to our heart, and we'd be filled with pride. They sought out and desired the lowest place that they might serve more eagerly and give God glory. Of course, preeminent among the saints was Our Lady, who, really, we can say, had the most important role in human history. Let's let that sink in. She had the most important role of every human that's ever existed, being the mother of the Son of God. And yet, what's she do? As soon as she goes to Elizabeth to serve her in her pregnancy, she sings a song about humility. The Magnificat is, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. It's a song of humility. But it's not just the saints. It's not just Our Lady. It's our Lord himself. Jesus was not intent on just teaching us the road to humility and service. He embodied it. St. Paul writes about this in his letter to the Philippians, where he says, although he was in the form of God, even though he was truly God in all of his glory, he did not grasp at the reality of divinity, but rather humbled himself and took on the form of a slave, a servant. And it's true from this very existence. He's born in a feed trough, humble. When he's beginning his public ministry, he warns everybody, the Son of God has nowhere to place his head. He washes the feet of the apostles. He dies in a publicly humiliating fashion. He is buried in someone else's grave. He is the embodiment of this idea of, I am not above serving even us human beings. But the greatest act of Christ's humility actually takes place in our midst today. On this altar, at every single Mass, the Lord Jesus humbles himself further. He does not merely take on human flesh. He descends to be a poor man's bread. He descends so low that I can pick him up with two fingers. And he is utterly helpless in my hands. He descends so low. And here at this Mass, this is where we learn humility. Every Mass, we begin with those words, I confess my fault. It can't be mere words. It can't be mere words. We have to acknowledge my littleness to approach this altar, to this banquet, which he calls us to. And right before we approach, what do we say? Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. And we have to mean that, because we're not. Then the divine physician can get to work. Then he can make us worthy by grace. And the idea is that, we've heard this before, you become what you consume. The idea is that if we consume the one who is perfect humility, we would become humble. So to approach this altar, we have to have some humility, but a desire to be even more humble, because he wants to make us more humble like him. It's at this Mass we can rightfully say, Lord, I depend upon you. I need you to live and to have strength to live my vocation. At this Holy Mass, we can say, Jesus, I deeply desire to learn from you, you who were meek and humble of heart. Today, Jesus, we pledge to you, in contrast to the evil one, I indeed will serve.